97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
No Billy Joel tonight at Busch Stadium, but they'll be here singing Billy Joel Sunday night. They just postponed the show until Sunday because of safety issues, and I think it's all better for the crowd. Now, if you have tickets, you can still go to the show, right, on Sunday night?
Yes.
If you can't go to the show, I'm going to tell you a little secret here. They're not really publicizing the fact that you can get a refund, but I have friends telling me that they have said to Ticketmaster that they cannot make it for schedule. Look, you got to figure there's people that came in from out of town. This is a regional
and they're expensive
attraction.
Tickets.
Sure. So I know that some refunds, well, here's what a friend of mine told. I'm just going to give you a little advice here. Friend of mine who was going to go tonight with his wife, who really didn't want to go to the show, he's going Saturday night or Sunday night to the Killers at Evolution Festival. So he got a refund for his wife and friends and then was able to $300 tickets, buy the same tickets, maybe even better for $150. So got the refund, went on the secondary market, got the other tickets because people are spinning those. So there's some advice for
totally
you
legal
this afternoon.
Totally legal.
And I have to remember, Sue is not in the studio, so I got to talk to Sue. Sorry, Sue. I didn't mean to forget about
right.
you there. How
that's
are you?
Really interesting.
You.
Thank you. Miss you, too.
A couple things that I want to get to before Sue's news, and we are loaded up with stuff. We have Paul Hall coming up in Cusimano as well. First of all, I got to say this. Damn you, Jane Duker. And you know why? Because
no.
A few weeks ago, you came in here and you introduced these Pop-Tarts, right? The Applejack Pop-Tarts.
Uh-huh. Best thing ever made.
You know what
company.
Has become like my go-to 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. midnight snack at my house? Those damn... I'm going to get so fat. They are addictive. They're like my favorite. But what's interesting is my daughter doesn't like them because she's not a cinnamon person. So she goes like with the cookies and cream. But I've eaten more Pop-Tarts in the last 4 weeks than I have probably in the last 4 years.
I won't even turn you on to the banana bread.
I don't know if I'd like that as much, but these are really good.
Apple Jacks are bar none the best they've ever made.
Yeah, I like them. All right, just real quick too. We'll talk about this with Cusimano, but this just cleared at The Athletic, which is, you know, part of the New York Times. It's a sports website publication. Katie Wu, who covers the Cardinals, has a column out that says the St. Louis Cardinals have lost their way. Now they must fix their failure. And I'm just going to read from this just a little bit. She was tweeting, Fred, you might remember this, yesterday Jordan Walker had kind of slipped in the outfield on a play, and Katie Wu had tweeted out, Jordan Walker should not be in the outfield next year. And she starts her story basically talking about that incident from yesterday and says, players like Walker reached the major leagues less prepared to prosper. Instead, their imperfections highlight what people in the organization describe as the withering of a once thriving player development operation, a machine that was once the envy of the sport. We're in trouble, one team employee said. This is anonymous, of course. This is not easily fixable within the next year or year after. This is going to take some time. I think that's absolutely accurate. I mean, this is going to take 3 or 4 years to kind of right the ship. And the person who's quoted in here says, I don't know how this was effed up so bad over the last few years. And her reporting says the Cardinals have lost their way, according to people within the organization interviewed by The Athletic, all of whom were granted anonymity in exchange for their candor. All described an outdated player development department, one that has hurt players like Walker. Some lamented the organization's emphasis on directing more money to the big league payroll, even if it meant skimping on hiring the coaches, instructors, and modern technology. Those decisions have left the organization to reckon with the harsh reality that they have fallen behind their rivals. One staffer said people would always ask in the minors, do you care about winning or do you care about developing players? The answer used to be, we develop winning players. We are no longer developing winning players, unfortunately. So this is a pretty brutal takedown. There's some positives in here. They talk about Chaim Bloom, who I think we talked about a little bit in the roundtable. He was with the Tampa Bay. He was hired by the Cardinals earlier this year. He seemingly will be a piece of the puzzle moving forward. But Fred, we're both loyal Cardinals fans. I think everyone in the room, and Ethan, who's our new producer, is here as well. This is going to be rough for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, this is just the beginning, I think, seeing that there is some deeper issues. And, the constant thing on Twitter, right, is this team doesn't spend enough money. This team's spending a lot more money than the Brewers, and the Brewers have kind of kicked your butt
the last
couple of years. So eventually you have to start looking at deeper issues and figure out where did things change for the Cardinals. Katie Wu does an excellent job in this article of summarizing that.
I feel badly for Goldschmidt and Arnott. I mean, they came here to be part of a championship team. Look, nothing is set in stone. You know it's going to be hard. It was never going to be easy anyway. But I think that the organization has let them down to a certain extent. And I don't know what happens to both those guys.
And I think that the fans would be happy if they acknowledged the problem. This idea that they have not been able to diagnose and tell people what the problem are and that they're on the way to fixing it, I think it would go a long way to having the fans
so,
not lose it.
To that point, Ethan, they will hold next week. I don't know if it'll be Monday or Tuesday, but they hold like a year-end news conference right before everyone kind of takes a little bit of a break. Now, typically in October, the Cardinals don't do that until maybe end of October, November in the past. But they're going to, you know, say some things over the weekend or I guess into next week, and we'll certainly pay attention to that. All right, this is Sue's turn now. Here we go.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, we have a lot of music for this day in history. And I'm going to start. Here's the thing. I have a soft spot for John Denver.
Yes.
I do, too.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you, Jane.
Love,
thank you,
love,
Mark.
Love.
And I'll tell you what, on this day in history, 49 years ago in 1979, this song hit number one on the singles chart.
hang on, because look,
hey, you know
this,
what?
This is where I'm board challenged
yeah.
here.
Yeah, the
here
coordination's
go.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Here in the city, it always seems that way. I've been thinking about you almost every day.
See, he should have treated Annie better. Am I right, Jane?
I agree.
I mean, that was his first wife.
That was,
yes.
That's one of my top five John Denvers.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, this is I'm Sorry by John Denver that was number one on the singles chart. See, he's sorry.
He is.
He's sorry about it.
And you believe him.
I do believe him. He's John Denver.
Yeah.
And then on this day in history, okay, this is just so funny. This also is 49 years ago today. This theme by John Williams actually made it onto the pop singles chart and made it to number 32. I think you'll know what it is.
The thing about this theme song is, and I hope this is somewhat relatable, and by the way, there's some interesting timing with this because there's a movie that's going to come out here in a couple of weeks called Saturday Night. But I cannot think of the theme song without the, you know, the land shark
dump.
Bit on Saturday Night Live.
Absolutely.
Yes.
When we saw this movie, the lights went out right as, you know, Quint was going to bite it. And, I mean, and so this theme, like, totally terrifies me because everyone's like, as soon as the lights went out, everybody's like, oh my God, Jaws ate the cameraman. I mean, and I was like, how old were we then? We were young then. We were
young.
Like
11 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, yeah, this is real.
I was not allowed to see Jaws because we were taking a beach vacation that summer.
I didn't
Smart
get into
move.
The, yeah, yeah. I did not get in the ocean for years.
Uh-huh. See?
Okay, here's a question for you. And by the way, I read this when I was a very young boy when the
I'm
movie
sorry,
was out.
I'm sorry, you read it? Hello?
Listen to me. This is what I was going to say. When I was 11 years old, I read, did you ever read Jaws or
no.
The
no.
Deep? The Deep.
The Deep, I read.
Peter Benchley, those are great books, but I read them when I was like maybe just a little older than my daughter, believe it or not.
Oh, no, I was older when I read The Deep. That is a creepy movie.
I think I was
Ooh.
12 or 13 years old.
By the way,
the book... better than the movie in Deep, the Deep in particular.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Well, this thing, Jaws the theme, made it actually onto the pop singles chart to number 32. That's how big Jaws was 49 years ago in 1979. While John Denver's I'm Sorry was at top of the charts. Okay. Then to perk us all up, 38 years ago today in 1986, the Beatles' Twist and Shout re-entered the charts. Why?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That's right, baby.
Oh, yeah. When you're heading into this here, I'm thinking, what in the world would have done that? And that makes perfect sense. It really does.
Yeah, an underrated movie.
Oh, one of my favorites of all time.
Thank
it
you.
Is the,
love that movie.
Might be my favorite of all time.
Bueller?
It peaked at number 23 after being revitalized by Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but also... Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Which is another underrated movie.
Thank you.
I didn't see a thing. You're perfect. It's a great movie.
I was never the biggest Rodney Dangerfield guy.
Oh,
That's good stuff, but he didn't always do it for me.
That scene where he's in when he's in college and they're talking about, you know, setting up a business, he goes, you got it all wrong. You don't have any payoffs for the trash man. You don't have,
Exactly.
I laughed so hard.
No, the humor was
laugh.
Sharp for sure.
It was. That
it
is
was.
His better one.
You guys, and it was 26 years ago, just to make us all feel old, in 1998 when Mark McGwire became the first baseball player to ever hit 70 home runs.
Yeah.
It was 26 years ago today. That was 70 in a single season.
I just watched the 30 for 30 on that, which is really good on ESPN.
It is good. I've seen that.
And I watched that like 2 months ago, and
it's excellent.
Captivated me again.
I have seen that, and it's funny, actually. You know, I talked to Mike Claiborne, I talked to Chip Carey after I watched it this past summer, and because they're in it, they're featured in it, they're interviewed in it, and they recorded those interviews so long before they aired, which was, I think it came out in 2020, that they've even forgot that they had done it.
Wow.
It was so long before.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny. Let's see. Oh, just how big? We were looking in. There was a story out about how big is the resurgence of the vinyl record? Well, according to the Recording Industry Association of America, last year people bought 43 million vinyl records.
Wow.
And TheVerge.com did an article about it. That is 6 million more. 6 million more than the number of CDs sold. Now, of course, streaming is king. That's over 80% of the market. But in the 11% physical music category, records are winning. And I was at the bank the other day opening something, a checking account or something. And the woman who was there, who was helping me do that, said her 12-year-old daughter has records and is completely into it.
That's
Alexa,
cool.
It is kind of cool.
Alexa has a couple. Yeah, she got the Taylor Swift. Remember when she got the Taylor Swift vinyl?
Right.
We were listening to it, and then it was cool because she could open up the album and read the lyrics and all that stuff. My son, the one who's the teacher in Chicago, the 24-year-old, he buys vinyl, he and his girlfriend, so they've kind of gotten into it as well.
Oh, I kind of like that. So vinyl beat CDs in 2022, too. So if you think about it, really, CD players aren't really a thing anymore. They're not in the cars. It's all about streaming. So as far as physical goes, it's all vinyl. Okay, in animal news, this was just so crazy. You kind of have to look this up. A team of marine biologists released footage of octopuses teaming up with fish to hunt for prey. So, okay, the octopus grabs the goatfish and the other fish, and they go out hunting. And then if the fish aren't on target or aren't paying attention or trying to do something else, they have video of the octopus punching them. Poof.
Wow.
I love that.
It's so great, Mark.
Oh, I got to see this.
Yeah,
do they all go out to a bar afterwards and hang out, or what do they do?
Be the octopus.
Iron sharpens iron.
Oh, my gosh. So the octopus just wonks somebody right in the face if it's a fish not doing what he wants.
I
kind of love it.
He's very well prepared with enough tentacles to slap as many fish, I guess, as he wants to.
Yes,
so
it's just a bizarre thing to see.
By the way, on the topic of fish, I don't even know how this happened because things happen at my house. I'm not a part of any of the conversation. We had one of those betas. Like, Alexa had a beta in her room. Just one little fish.
Right.
We called it Flame. We've had a few. I kind of like this one. It was pretty cool. But then all of a sudden, I go home the other night, and there's like a 10-gallon aquarium, and they put more fish into it.
Wow.
And now, there's like little, I don't even know what they are, but I've got 18 fish or something like that. And this is my favorite. I have a snail named Gary.
Oh, I love that so
much. Let me tell you something about Gary. You know how snails are supposed to be slow? Not Gary. Gary's darting around in this tank. He moves. I can't believe how quickly this snail moves. Now, one of the reasons is Gary's kind of hungry, and there's no algae in there, so we're trying to figure out how to get Gary some food. But
and he's
snails,
afraid of the piranha.
This whole thing about the snails being slow, Gary is not slow. Yeah, right.
Okay.
He's afraid of the piranha.
Do you even know what kind of fish they are?
Becky does. I don't know. They're not tropical.
Who's going to end up having to clean this tank?
Not me.
Know.
That's the one area that I excuse myself from is the fish tank. So,
okay. But now, who named the snail Gary? Because I love that
I
so much.
I love it too. It was good actually call. My daughter's friend who did that.
So good call.
Yeah, very good call. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. I have several that I find interesting. Okay, well, I might do two. First of all, the CRV in a Honda CRV, does anybody know what that stands for?
No.
No.
Comfortable. Comfortable runabout vehicle. I never knew that.
Nope, me neither.
And I knew that V was vehicle. That was it.
Oh, well, that's good. that was a good one. And Americans eat 554 million tacos from Jack in the Box every year.
Seriously?
That is about 1,000 jack-in-the-box tacos a minute. And they're the ones that aren't really tacos. They got American cheese, but there's something about them.
Let me tell you something. I think about half of those are sold at the Jack in the Box at Bates and Grand, because every time I go by, and Sue,
right.
You know that. You pass by
yes.
there probably a lot.
Yeah.
I used to.
Yeah.
That place, and now it's like a double-decker back. It didn't used to be, but there's always cars
Ooh,
there.
That place is always jammed. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's it for Sue's News.
All right. Thank you, Sue. Appreciate it. We're coming back here, wrapping up a Friday edition of Sue's News. No Billy Joel and Sting tonight. Sunday night, rescheduled. Evolution Festival still on. L. King. Rob Schneider's daughter, believe it or not. She's in town this weekend for Evolution Festival. So we're featuring some of the artists on the bumper music this afternoon. I will post the list at Mark Beard and KFTK a little later
Great
this
song.
Afternoon. Hey, Maggie Smith passed away. I'm going to play a little audio.
Dear old Lady Darnley, always like to stuff the place with royalty.
Now, remember, these visits to Hogsmeade Village are a privilege.
You will not use the excuse of that pathetic, that humorous document to blackmail me.
So many roles. Paul Hall is here from Common Guy Films. She was 89 years old. I was just looking at the bio here. In the year that I was born, and Jane, I think you're the same year, 1965. She started acting in the 50s, but in 1965, that was the big break. She starred opposite Laurence Olivier in Othello. How are you, Mr. Hall, this afternoon?
I'm wonderful. This was a tough one to take this morning because, of course, Maggie Smith not only has had roles in, you know, currently in things like Downton Abbey, but her Harry Potter roles were legendary to an entire generation that grew up on the books. In fact, I saw a photo today that showed her, Richard Harris, and Alan Rickman all together. Three brilliant actors of our day, all Harry Potter alums. All have now passed away. It's pretty amazing.
I think I had forgotten that Alan Rickman had passed away. Here's a little Harry Potter for you, though. Here.
As for you two gentlemen, well, I just hope you realize how fortunate you are. Not many first-year students could take on a fully grown mountain troll and live to tell the tale. 5 points will be awarded to each of you. For sheer dumb luck.
You know, we always say this, but who's the next Maggie Smith? Like, there are some of these, or Alan, there are people that are just not replaceable, I think.
Here's where I go the most, Mark. Probably Helen Mirren.
I was going to say Helen Mirren. Yep.
Yeah. She works a lot for me. I mean, think about this. Maggie Smith has been around and in key roles in movies throughout the years. I mean, I grew up in college with Sister Act. She was Mother Superior in Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg in both the first and the second film. She was brilliant in a comedy alongside Whoopi Goldberg. She's just done so much over the years, and I think people don't even realize because they think she's just a prim and proper actress that has only been in, you know, the
artsy fartsy stuff, right? No, well, we wanted to start at least by, you know, honoring her because she was a legend. British actress Maggie Smith, dead at the age of 89. I'm very much looking forward, though, to hearing your take on some of the stuff that's coming out. And maybe we should start with Wolf's here.
I'm here to take care of your problem. Who called you?
We clearly have a situation here. The only course of action is for you to work together to clean up this mess.
No. It's not how I work. This is not how I work.
I think we got a Missouri guy in Brad Pitt with George Clooney, right, Paul?
Yeah, this is a movie with George Clooney, Brad Pitt. You'd think it's opening theaters this weekend. You know, those two on the screen together. It had a brief limited opening last week, and it's on Apple TV Plus now for everybody to watch. And, well, after seeing the movie, I kind of get why it ended up there, unfortunately.
Really?
I love Apple TV Plus stuff, and I think this is one of those few places this could get made because this is a movie that kind of plods along in such a way as these two end up in the same room of a murdered individual, and both of them happen to be cleaners, for lack of a better word. We know cleaner, that person that comes in, gets rid of the body, makes it all look good and go away. Well, they end up getting the same job, and now they start realizing there's more to meet the eye in the case they're doing. It's a fascinating film. It just, like I said, it plods from start to finish. And I don't know that it's going to find a huge audience. I love the characters, and it's really, this film is a lot about those two individuals. And Clooney and Brad Pitt are two of those individuals that you can get to pull it off at all because they're fascinating people to watch on screen. But it just doesn't seem to ever want to go anywhere that you were excited to see. It's over on Apple TV Plus, and you can see the whole thing now just as if it was a brand new movie in your queue.
There is a film out this weekend. Jane, it might even be inspired by you. I don't know. It's called My Old Ass.
I thought I'd be happier at 40. You are happy, and I'm not 40. You don't look happy. I feel like you're having a midlife crisis.
Well, I feel like you're high on mushrooms, so you don't know shit.
I do love Aubrey Plaza, and I recognize her voice there. Tell me about this one. Have you seen it?
I have seen it. And, you know, this one begs itself to a million different puns along the way. Like, you know, encouraging you to cover your children's eyes and ears because I'm going to talk about why you should see My Old Ass. It's totally a fun film. It's about if you could go ahead in time, see Mark today, and go back and tell Mark in, you know, high school, going into college, about who to stay away from, who to get close to, how to make your life better at a younger age. And it's about the changing, the ability to change kind of points of view over the years. The younger Elliot, played by Maisie Stella, is kind of set in her ways that she's in essence as politically correct as you come. She calls herself she hates the cis community. She does all these things, but she realizes as she goes older that maybe her point of view is not totally the only one out there, and there's other points of view along the way. I like the way they mix Maisie and Aubrey together here. I like the way this makes me laugh throughout, and I like the storytelling. It is really an interesting storytelling type of film. I'm going to recommend this one for people who want to laugh and have a really cool story brought to them on the screen.
Is that theatrical then this weekend?
Yeah, that's in theaters this weekend. That's kind of one of the bigger titles. This is kind of that dead zone before we get into October and we start blowing things out, like with Joker next week and a couple others.
So let me talk about a couple things, because I think I'm lagging on some of the streaming, and Jane and I stream. You're always way ahead of me. And one of the things I'm that telling. I finally got into, and maybe this was inspired, Paul, because of the Emmys, I had heard some buzz over the summer about Baby Reindeer. I never clicked. I didn't even know what it was about. And then it wins all these Emmys, and I was sitting around. My wife was out of town, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to press go on Baby Reindeer. I'm going to just say this to people listening right now. I'm not going to recommend it, because I don't want you coming back at me and saying, man, you are effed up, Reardon, for recommending this, because it is bizarre, and it's out there. But I watched it in like 4 days, Jane, and I liked it quite a bit. It was an interesting show for sure. It's not for everyone, I would say.
It's riveting.
Yeah, it is.
Have you seen it?
Well, let me tell you something you do want to check out. Mr. McMahon over on Netflix.
Oh.
Vince McMahon is one of those polarizing people, but this documentary gets him right before he stepped down from WWE over the allegations of sexual assault and the payoffs and all that kind of stuff. And he kind of looks different in some of the early footage in this interview series. You get to see all the people that kids grew up with in the 90s with Vince McMahon. It actually doesn't hold a lot of punches, and it's very good, very well done. Chris Smith is behind this, and I know, Mark, you know the name Chris Smith when it comes to documentary stuff. He puts together a great story, and Vince McMahon is an interesting character, whether you like him or not.
And what is this called?
It's called Mr. McMahon. It's over on Netflix.
It's on Netflix,
check out the series now. That started yesterday, I think, officially.
Yeah.
So Chris Smith is a filmmaker who did what I consider one of the best documentaries in American filmmaking history, which is called American Movie. It really is an interesting film from way back in the late 90s. And it's about a guy by the name of Mark Borchardt, who used to call my radio show, by the way. This is because it's set in Milwaukee. Mark Borchardt, very strange dude. Paul, I don't know if you remember when he would call the show. It was always very interesting because I knew it was him, but he was a, how do you even describe Mark Borchardt? He was making like a
low-budget horror movie called Coven.
Thank you. And then his buddy Mike Shank, who was a friend and musician and just sort of a dorky guy. And it's called American Movie, and it really is special. And I don't even know where you can find that out there streaming, but if you can, I would highly recommend American Movie. Yeah. It's an older film, but really good, and Chris Smith is a very talented documentarian. Anything else you got for us this weekend?
Yeah, let's point you to a couple things and just get out of here. We've got a new series, The Penguin, on Max. Definitely worth checking out. Documentary Stopping the Steal over on Max. Whether you like or hate the whole idea, this is going to go through that whole time around the kind of redoing 2020.
Is that Pelosi's daughter doing that one?
What's that?
Is that Pelosi's daughter doing that?
No, this one, I can't remember who actually did it off the top of my head, but they have a lot of interesting characters that they actually interview along the way here. It's a lot of people from the Republican Party, which doesn't surprise a whole lot of anyone, but they do a good job putting it together. I did like the way they put it together, whether you like what's being said or not, which you're going to get a ton of that stuff, Mark, over the next 3-4 weeks. I've seen some of it. There's going to be so many political docs coming down the pike, like or hate them. They're going to tell stories.
Paul, I strongly recommend Fight Night with Kevin Hart and Samuel Jackson. And what is there?
Over on Peacock, I believe that is.
Yes.
Right?
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Strongly recommend. Yeah.
It's I can really agree good. With you. It's one of the better put together film or put together things over on Peacock right now. It's definitely worth your time after you watch Sunday Night Football or whatever. Go over and take a look.
There's another show that I want to go back to. I watched the first two seasons, but then I think my MGM Plus subscription ran out, and it's with Harold Perrineau, who is in the show Lost, and it's called From. It's a bit of a bizarre show that's now in its third season, but I think that opened up on MGM Plus last weekend, and the first two seasons were really, really good. Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
CommonGuy.com.
Have a great weekend. We will talk on next Friday. How's that sound?
Bye, Paul.
All right, we'll see you. By the way, yeah, you know, the Chiefs are favored by a touchdown over the Chargers. I'm just going to go on the record as saying that that's very generous, but I still think we're going to beat them on Sunday.
Good luck. I'll take the points. I'll take the points.
I think I might, too, for betting purposes. Hang in there. Cusimano's coming up next. A little Todd Rundgren here. Man, you know, it's funny. I love Todd Rundgren. You know who's a big Todd Rundgren fan? Former Senator John Lamping. And Todd Rundgren here at Evolution Festival this weekend in St. Louis.
Great.
I saw him in Chicago. I think it was like 1986. That's the only time I've ever seen Todd Rundgren. But it was a great, great show. Frank Cusimano with us this afternoon as we take you into the weekend from KSDK. How are you, Frank? Good afternoon. No, you know what? The host did not lock you in. There you go, Frank. How are you?
Good, sir.
Sorry, we still have board changes that I'm getting used to, and my brain is not retrained. Did you read, I read part of it at the beginning of the hour, the Katie Wu story that cleared in The Athletic earlier this afternoon?
Yes, about the looming changes with the Cardinals and what could be done and what should be done.
So thoughts on that as we close out the season, because that is not a portrait of an organization that has their you-know-what together right now.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, if you listen to KMOX Sports on a Sunday morning with Tom Ackerman and John Mozeliak last Sunday, I got the impression that it's John Mozeliak's world and he's going to keep running it. And then you read the article and you're just not certain. It's probably going to be a combination where I think that many people want Mo to go away and he's not, but there will be a transition to Mr. Bloom to running this thing and not just being a consultant, but being an assistant GM. And I think John Mozeliak will agree to that. He may not have a choice.
Huh.
There's a lot of things in that article that are troubling. And I'm going to say that it shouldn't be surprising to Cardinals fans, but they have a bunch of anonymous people. You know, they have this sourced out. Katie was a good reporter, but she has people that are not identified. They agreed to talk to her because they would be anonymous, which is often the case. But one person said, we're in trouble. This is not easily fixable within the next year or year after. This is going to take some time. Now, that's kind of stating the obvious, but, you know, the fan base needs to be prepared. This is not going to turn around quickly, right, Frank?
No, it's not, unless you caught lightning in a bottle and all of a sudden, you know, Jordan Walker turns out to be a superstar, not just an above-average player. But their organization, it's a little bit like the Blues, but with the Blues, I think there's more optimism because you have 12 guys, 25 and under, who are first-round draft choices.
Right.
The infusion of talent in the Cardinals system right now is not great, and they have not shown a great propensity to go out and sign, you know, big impact free agents. They're not going to do that. So I don't know how you turn it around real quickly.
Jane Duker has a daughter who works in the athletic department at the University of Alabama. And sadly, rooting for the Tide, but that's a big game. No Mizzou game this weekend because they have a bye, Texas A&M next weekend, but a big game down in Tuscaloosa tomorrow night, Frank.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, it's probably the biggest game in college football this season.
Yep.
And I think that Georgia has a little bit more offense than people think. Yeah, you know, they had that unimpressive showing against Kentucky, 13-12. But I think I'm going to go with Miss Duker's team at the Crimson Tide at home on Saturday.
I think so, too.
I think so, too. Vegas is saying it. Vegas usually knows.
By the way, speaking of Vegas, I'm a big Chiefs fan. I want them to win. I think they will win this weekend. But they are a 7-point favorite against the Chargers. That seems a little generous, Frank.
Yeah, especially with how unappealing the Kansas City Chief offense has been, and with the lack of playmakers and with Travis Kelce not being a factor. Mark, I don't know if you heard it, but an analyst came out this week and said Travis Kelce is just not in shape at all. He said, I'm not saying he's shot for the season, but you can tell he's been partying a little bit too much, and people are complaining he's not getting the ball. Well, maybe he's not in great shape to get the ball. It wouldn't shock me if by the end of the season, the postseason, he's fine, but this is a Chiefs team that has just not looked explosive on offense and been very fortunate to win the games they have won.
Well, the whole Kelce thing is mysterious. It really is, and not being in the best shape might answer part of the question, but it's very weird. Now, he's an aging player. We know that. But it's not even like Pat Mahomes is looking at him right now, Frank. That's what's so mystifying.
Yeah, and look, it would not shock me that he comes back and is great. Because you got to remember, last year during the regular season, there was a stretch where people were saying the same thing. You get in the postseason, and he's unstoppable.
Up,
he's
right.
Travis Kelce when he's 26 or 27. I don't know how many times you can keep doing that, though, especially later in your career.
What else is going on in St. Louis sports-wise this weekend?
Well, the Blues are 0-3 in the postseason. Now, I know, you know, a dollar bill, or I know a cup of coffee and a dollar bill. What the hell? I don't even know what I'm saying.
I can't remember the Dame City. I was
going
to help you out, but I know we all know where you're going. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. However, the offense has been null and void in the three games. Now, you're playing with some mixed rosters, but Las Vegas doesn't like the Blues. The national prognosticators don't like the Blues to make the postseason. But when you're out there, you get kind of a good feel, and you do have some of this young talent. And if a couple of these guys can expedite the learning curve and get better real quick, because you have some really good players in Pavel Buchnevich and Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou, I think you have a chance to be a playoff team this year. I think you really do.
What's coming up on Sunday night?
Sunday night, Ozzie Smith in studio for a no-holds-barred interview on everything from Mason Wynn to the state of the Cardinals to his life and legacy, and also a look at arguably the greatest baseball promoter of all time, Mike Vec, Bill Vec's son, who once had a free vasectomy night at one of his ballpark promotions with the St. Paul Saints.
One of my deep regrets in life, and my father made the right decision. I begged my dad to let me go to Comiskey Park for Disco Demolition Night. And then we were driving back from the farm that I worked on near Aurora, Illinois, when that game was going on into a disaster when Bill Vec owned the White Sox. And that, Jane, do you remember what happened that night? They had to cancel the second part of the doubleheader. This was in 1978 or 1979 at Comiskey Field, Comiskey Park. All right, Frank, hey, listen, have a great weekend. Enjoy all the football and baseball. We'll talk on Monday afternoon.
Roll Tide.
you had to get that in there, right?
I had to.
Well, and you know, Jane and I, this is because your daughter goes down there, but it's been a bucket list item for me to see a game either like in Tuscaloosa or Michigan or Ohio State. And since Mizzou, and I'm not feeling too good about this game, I think I was when we agreed to go to the game. You go to many games down there, but you are being nice enough to accommodate me with a Airbnb, and I'm going to head down to Tuscaloosa in a few weeks. Becky and I.
It's going to be great. We're going to have so much fun.
I think so, too, but it's going to be a lot more fun if Mizzou is going to be competitive. Because
I agree.
If they're playing Alabama this weekend and not Georgia, I think we would get smoked, and I'm concerned about that. Now,
I'm
the bye week is helpful.
Yes, and I'm hoping that was a very bad fluke, because I do want to see a good game. I mean, my daughter has banned me from wearing anything Mizzou, but I'm still going to have to because I went to Mizzou. I'm like, honey, you have to get a grip here.
Well, I won't allow that.
So I think I'm going to have to do the sweatshirt, half Alabama, half Mizzou. I'm going to have to do a Donna Kelce situation.
You are a creative type, so I think you're going to get it done. I appreciate it. You have a great weekend, Jane.
You too, sweet.
Get more at 971talk.com.